Good evening, everyone. Good evening. You've tuned in to Paradigm Shifters. You're going to have fun with this show tonight. Our Paradigm Shifter is really doing some great shift with young adults. And of course, I'm an old adult and I've loved it, so it's not going to be narrowed to that one field. We're talking tonight with Tara and Lorna, who've put together a wonderful, wonderful book called Through Indigo Eyes. Is that the right title? Welcome to the show, Tara. Welcome to the show, Lorna.
Thank you, Veronica. So happy to be here.
And I am very happy to be here, Veronica.
And Tara, we're so
that
glad
was,
you're here.
I'm Lorna. That was Tara.
Right. And Tara's the intuitive, right?
Correct, yes.
And are you an intuitive as well, Lorna?
No, I'm not. I'm a writer, but, you know, I would... Sorry, Tara. I do feel that things sometimes come through me.
I would say yes, she is. I say we are all born intuitive. Yes, yes.
Well, I think there's a movement on the planet right now that you know, that for us to all wake up, and I think that includes becoming more and more intuitive, doesn't it?
Very much so. Yes, absolutely. And I think Lorna and I coming together and creating this. You know, Indigo was, you know, based on my life, even though the book is, it's a fiction, but it was done in a way that Lorna based Indigo on me and what kind of what I went through, and then, you know, did her amazing weaving of fiction into the stories, and anyway, she's just talented, and I think through her doing that, I mean, she was in tune, channeling in all this amazing stuff, so I think that she was using all of her intuitive abilities writing this book, no doubt about it.
Well, I guess there's not much difference between creativity, real creativity and intuition, is there?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, but I love the book because for people who don't know, this is a really interesting book because a lot of us who woke up to our intuition when we were young had to struggle and not be able to get along in society. And that was your experience, Tara?
Yes, and I found that, you know, being back in the 80s and having all these experiences and, you know, my parents being aware of it and not really sure what to do and the doctors saying, well, we don't know, she's got this ESP thing and, you know, off with, you know, on with your life. And, you know, it wasn't until my mentor came in around seven, when I was around 17, that really kind of helped me hone and understand why this was happening and why these experiences were going on. And really until the age of seven, I didn't think that there was anything wrong. I thought everybody was like this. And I, you know, I do say I think everybody is. It's just parts of us either shut down and we have different types of intuitive abilities when we're born. And for me, it was seeing and hearing. And, you know, so that's what, when Lorna and I came together, it was really fun because we were sitting and Lorna, as a successful writer that she is, she was telling me about some of the projects she was doing, and we were having coffee, and then I was telling her about an ego book that I was doing. We were just off, you know, off topic, and then she just started, she had teenagers at home at the time, and she started asking me, you know, what was it like growing up as intuitive and having these experiences? It must have been, you know, wild, and, you know, so I was telling her some stories, and she says, oh, I would love to write your memoir one day, and then I said, nah, we should do a fiction, and then boom, everything
that.
Just kind of happened.
I love that.
You know,
that.
So she's, you know, she has taken parts of my story and then created it to be this, you know, a magical book that it, you know, not only are you being entertained, but you're being, you know, you're learning and then people are being able to relate to it. And we really wanted to create that together. And with Lorna's ability to write, I mean, that just, it makes it really shine, you know.
That's wonderful. And let me see, you said you, around 17, you got a mentor. Was that a channeled being or was it someone who was in the flesh?
In the flesh, yes, mm-hmm. she's on the other side now, mm-hmm. In the flesh. So everything happens for a reason. It's funny, we part of that comes into the second book, so we don't want to give that away.
No, but I think it's really interesting because it's very, very important for kids to have someone that they can be real with. Don't you think? I mean, a lot of people
Absolutely.
Don't find, even if it's not about it being an intuitive, it's about being who you really are, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And having the support, and I think, you know, growing up in Ottawa, Ontario, and not really, you know, knowing anything and just thinking, well, this is the way my life is going to be. I'm going to be this crazy, weird kid that has these experiences that I can't control, and then here goes my life, you know. But it literally just happened, and how I met her, nothing is a coincidence in life. Things happen for a reason, and she came in right at the right time, and you know, even myself, I it was like, there's no way I'm going to go see this lady who is a psychic, you know, and it was
weird
my
lady.
Mom who, yeah, this, you know, it's like that, was it just all happened, and that's kind of the fun part, and what will be fun in the second book is that we kind of go into that story, and of course, Lorna, you know, weaves in the fiction and through the series, so, you know, it's, But it's really kind of, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And I was really ready because I was really on my hands and knees saying, that's it. You know, I don't want to live anymore. I hate my life. I hate who I am. And literally, boom. And I know I had opportunities before to make do differences. I learned how to love myself. I'm a Taurus, so as stubborn as they come, I'm like, no. And I cross my arms, be like, I'm not changing, and rah, 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 you know. So, you know, as I say, the three strikes are out, and to the point of, you know, it ushered into my life quite quickly because I was at my breaking point. So
I wasn't listening.
Yeah.
Well, don't you find many, many people say, gosh, I knew and I heard that, but I ignored it. Isn't that
That's kind of
normal when you're intuitive?
Oh, completely. Yeah. We all go through it because society tells us to ignore it, that it is something different, or we are not connected, or we're, because it's part of our ego and how we kind of grow. And I think that's all through soul's progression. And that's kind of why I've dedicated my life to helping others with their own intuition and understanding the ego and intuition, that we all go through this, and that, you know, it's like my passion comes from my place of, I'm so happy that this has all happened in my life. Because I know that I'm like, no child left alone or no person is that. That's my mission, to make sure that everybody feels that this is normal.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, you say that everybody's intuitive, and I agree with that, but everybody can sing as well.
That's right.
So there's a kind of a quality thing that you have that some people don't have very easily, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think it's some of us are just born maybe a little bit with a higher frequency, and
mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't make anybody better or different, but just like, you know, anybody can sing. Well, you know, Lauren and I use an example, I think, in the back of the book about, you know, some people are really good painters. Sure, I could paint and do all those sorts of things. I may not be fantastic at it, but, you know, still, you can still do something. So, you know, I think it's just about embracing that part of you, and the more that you practice, the more that you become, you know, even more engrossed in it and become better at it, I guess.
And do you have children, Tara?
No, I don't, but Lorna has three wonderful children.
And are your children intuitive at all, or are your children grokking this story, let's put it that way?
I would say that my children are all intuitive. I wouldn't say that my children are psychics on that level, but I would say they're definitely very intuitive, and I think that the younger generation is more intuitive, or maybe they're allowed to be more intuitive than, let's say, my generation.
Well, I think also that Tara just said the thing about higher frequency. They are higher frequency by...
I believe in that. I believe that they are vibrating at a higher frequency, and I do believe that... And I think this... And I don't want to call it a stigma, but I think that that has sort of gone, and it's acceptable, more acceptable now, and I think with books like Through Indigo's Eyes, which... You know, I very, very clearly made it an entertaining novel that has a real high concept fiction component to it.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, there's the love story and there's the all of that stuff is there. You know, there's the little tiny bits of suspense in the novel. So, I mean, all of those components are there, but the underlying message is that intuitiveness is okay. Like it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to teach our children that, and, you know, I see it in my kids, and I see it in a very different way. Like, they're young adults now. They're 22, 21, and 19.
Mm.
But I see it in a very different way, and I see that they do use it, and they use how they feel to make decisions, as opposed to, you know, in my generation, we made decisions as for what society was telling us to do.
Yeah, and
so I think that has changed a little bit, and I, you know, I'm proud of this book. I think because it hits on a couple of different levels,
mm-hmm.
and I think that that's really important with the book. Even though it is a novel, it's got this underlying message to it.
Oh, come on, novels have really led the way for a long time, haven't they?
They have.
I love novels.
Totally agree. I do too. I'm so in love with novels. But I love that the fact that it does have an underlying message.
But there's a whole other message here that I love, which is, and of course I was born in the 40s, so I'm a little older than you guys.
So you're even older than I am, because I was born in the 50s. So.
I'm even older than a lot of people. Yeah.
Ooh. You're the age of my brothers and sisters.
Oh, good. Well, the thing about the age that matters is in my day, you really couldn't admit any of this stuff very much at all.
Exactly.
But the long and the short of it is I studied literature, and you know all this, that in epics like Beowulf and all these amazing poems that are way back in the literary world, the people were all adventuring to being who they really were. And that's kind of what I took through the Indigo story. you know, the adventure was her to finally find who she really
was. And I'm currently editing the second book in the series, Becoming Indigo, and there's even more in that, that, you know, she becomes Indigo, and that's such a beautiful component to the novel, is that we're progressing along with her, and, mm-hmm. and that is just, it's wonderful to see that progression. And, you know, obviously character development is really important in all of that sort of things in books. But you are correct that way back, you know, all the literature was full of that.
It was full of people becoming true. So the thing about this Indigo story, I'm going, it's not even about it. The kids don't have to wanting to grab their intuitive selves. They want to be real and who they are.
They want to be real.
And the whole
Absolutely.
Danger of being shunned. I was reading recently that being shunned or not belonging is one of the greatest causes of suicide. And I went, oh my gosh, you know.
Yep, absolutely.
So mm-hmm. it takes courage to be who you really are, doesn't
mm-hmm.
it?
And we tackled that in the book of, you know, Indigo going through the, you know, the thoughts of suicide, and I think, you know, everybody in their life always goes through that moment where they feel so alone. It doesn't matter who we are, and that we will all have moments of being shunned, and we will have dark thoughts. And I think that, you know, Lauren and I really wanted to bring that into the book and show that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and that, you know, it's normal that you're going to feel negative and you're going to have those thoughts, but, you know, you can get through it. You know,
I appreciated that. I always want the kind of the deeper journey there, and you brought that in really well. Thanks for that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And also you brought in the fact that she could be a bit of a curmudgeon at times.
I wanted her real. I wanted the character real.
Oh, I love that.
You know, that was really, really important to me to bring that out in the character, is that, and the different kinds of emotions that the character went through, there were so many. And I think that as teenagers, just watching my own girls and my son go through their teenage years, my son is still 19, there's so many moments where they're, you know, they leave in the morning and they're great, and then they come home and they walk in the back door and they're crying. And so those teenagers have such a range of emotions, but that's just because they're just exploring who they are. They're trying to find their way.
Well, and I think their hormones are shifting around too, eh?
Absolutely.
Tell me this, did your, I asked you this, but I don't think I got the answer quite yet. Did your children like this book, or do they?
My children have loved the book, yes.
Good, okay.
And, you know, they helped me in the infancy stages. Like, you know, they gave me some lingo and stuff and some language that, you know, they would say to me, Mom, that's not how it's said. And I'd say, okay. So I was able to kind of, like, go with that, although it was written kind of in 1997, so I was able to capitalize a little on that. But, yeah, the girls, they've all read it, and they've really, really enjoyed it. And my husband even read it, and he enjoyed it. So I was like, wow, thank you.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So that's great.
So apparently this book is going like wildfire. Can you talk about the relationship to social media and bringing these ideas forward? Because I think that's social media is a way to tap. I don't know this for sure. You girls can help me with this. But it seems it's a way to get real people being really responsive. Is that right? I mean, this is what we're talking about with Indigo. I'm going, oh, mm-hmm. this is kind of interesting, mm-hmm. isn't it? It's metaphorical that way.
Yeah, Kara, go for it.
Yeah, we did that. Thanks, Laura. Yeah. Yeah, we did a viral campaign for it, so a viral book launch, and you know, we did a lot of tweeting and promoting and stuff through.
Well, now wait. What's a viral book launch? Come on, I'm an older person.
sure, absolutely. A viral book launch is like, you know, back in the day where you would go to a bookstore and you would launch your book and you'd have your book there and people would, you know, walk around, or you would do a book tour, right? And it would all be physical. Well, now things are being done virally online, so. What happens is you get a lot of people to endorse your book or to talk about your book or to tweet or Facebook about your book or blog about your book or put it in, you know, their newsletters. And they're basically just saying, yeah, love the book. And you know, they either want to support you or they don't. So you have an email list of a bunch of people that are really wanting to support you, and they let their list know. And so it's like that viral explosion.
Oh, I see. So you don't have to show up for a book signing that way.
No. And that's the way it's going, because
you have to buy new clothes.
Yeah.
Just have to comb your hair so that
in front of the computer, nobody knows, right?
So, that's right.
Yeah, so that's the fun part about it, and that's the way kind of where the viral world is going with ebooks and you know, the Kobies and the Kindles, and, you know, it's that instant now that no matter where you are in the world, what time zone, is that you can download it. You don't have to wait for it or, oh, no, it's not on the shelf. So that has become so, you know, enticing for people that they can just click a button and get it.
Wow.
So, and you
know, I still love books. I'm going to be really honest.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. And I still do, especially in Canada. You know, like Laura and I have this conversation all the time. It's like, I still love going to the bookstore. I love being surrounded by books. I buy books. You know, I'll always be like that. But there is definitely this, you know, the younger generation, they still buy books, but they do love this sort of ability of that instant.
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of where, you know, it has been kind of spreading really fast, and we've been doing blog tours and really kind of putting ourselves out there on the social media market to just let people know, hey, we're here, you know, and I think that that's really helped the book spread.
And how did you meet Louise Hay? Did you meet
her? When did I meet her? I went to San Diego for another book proposal that I was writing, and I was in a meeting, and they said, is there anything else that you're working on, just out of curiosity? And I said, actually, a friend of mine, and we're working on this, and it was just in beginning stages anyways. They loved it, and they pretty much said, send us what you have. So I called Lorna. I said, you're not going to believe this, but they want. So, of course, Lorna, you know, said the
movie. I freaked
we
out.
Freaked out.
It was, like, so poorly written. I was just about having a heart attack, and I said to Tara, I don't do this. I do not send my workout unless it is completed and edited and done.
And beautiful, yeah.
Oh, I had a heart attack. I just was like, I can't do this. I pressed that send button and thought, okay, you know what? I just, wow.
But they loved
it.
Not
in my nature.
Yeah, and it was just really funny because then I went down to Carlsbad at the main office and was in the meeting, and Louise Hay walked in on the meeting, and of course my eyes bugged out of my head, and I'm like, oh my God, that's Louise Hay. And then she, you know, gets up and hugs everybody, and then she gets up and hugs me, and she goes, and who are you? And I said, I'm Tara Taylor. And she says, oh, so what are you doing here? I said, well, I'm actually having a meeting about a possible book with your publishing house. She goes, and I said, and I'm really hoping it's all going to work out. Like, I was joking with her. And then she said, she gave me a hug and she said, play your cards right, and winked at me, and then ended up having a meeting up with her later that night to have a nice chat. So she is really, you know, something else. She really is walk the walk, talk the talk. Like, she is
a wonderful woman.
She's really a phenomenal woman. Yeah.
Wow, this is very
exciting. Beautiful, just beautiful. Yeah. You know, like inside and out. When you first see her, like her, I always say her pictures don't do her justice, even though she's beautiful in pictures. But when you see her, she has a glow about her.
Oh, wow. She does. Yeah. She definitely does. She's amazing.
And she's kind.
I went to a session with her at I Can Do It, and I thought, oh my gosh. I want to be like her when I grow up.
Yeah. She's such an inspiration.
Well, it's important to remember that aging is about wisdom and not about just wrinkling up and losing your place, you know. And she sure is a Barbara Marx Hubbard as well. Some of them are really great icons.
Her as well. I haven't met her in person, but, I mean, God, she just holds a presence, when even not through her stuff and her work, and I just think, wow, yeah.
Yeah, I'm really grateful that they're ahead of us. But the other thing is that I'm really grateful for older people like me that this Indigo book is out there, because a lot of us really struggled with it, and it's just the way you're encapsulating a personal journey. I love it.
And well, I think, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just thinking of, I don't want to give away too much, except when she finally has a boyfriend. And what I really found was, if I say typical, it sounds like I'm demeaning it, and I don't mean it that, but their law of attraction and so on, they attracted one another, being really unique and really different. And I thought you went through that really well.
Oh, thank you. That was that's a fictional component of the story. So, you know, writing a YA novel, it's always really important to kind of have the romance in there.
The love affair. Yeah.
So that was definitely a fictional component of the novel.
Well, I felt that her age thing, that she had to have somebody come in.
I think so.
She had to.
I think that that's important for the readers. But I don't think it detracts from someone like you reading the novel that's, you know, not a teenager. Because what happens is then we look back on it and we go, oh, wow, I remember my first love, my first boyfriend in high school. And you kind of, you know, it takes you back a little bit. And I think their relationship is quite typical. And in all honesty, I use my daughters and their relationships to kind of form a lot of that relationship. And I also, without giving it away, I also wanted to kind of get that relationship in there where it wasn't necessarily a great relationship for her. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
well,
I
it was in a way, but if she had married him or something, we'd have all had to throw the book over our shoulder.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now I've just given something away. Okay.
Don't give that away.
I'm sorry. But I really liked the way you did that. That was, to me, good. Tara, did you have a high school boyfriend?
Yes, I did. Yeah, we had a few, and that's kind of so funny. When Laura and I have been asked a couple times, you know, and we're saying, oh, it's a bunch of boyfriends all mixed into one, and it's all, you know, with between Lorna's and my boyfriends and the girl's boyfriend, her girl's boyfriends, you know, so... Yeah, you know, I went through, I was the type of person, well, you know, like how Indigo is, I wasn't boy crazy. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, more dealing with why am I having these crazy experiences, please nobody find out.
You know, so. Well, I wondered if you had a boyfriend who did know or not.
No, not really. I wouldn't say it that way. No, I did everything in my power to hide it.
Yeah, really, hey? That must have been
Yeah,
hard.
And I didn't really have relationships like that. Like, I there would be discussions on certain things. You know, like my friends knew, you know, but it was one of those things that was just we'd just laugh it off. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there was one that, you know, there was a couple that really kind of knew, but there was, yeah, like it's quite interesting in the sense of how when it came to boys, because too, I wasn't really comfortable in my own, I wasn't even really comfortable around boys. Mm-hmm. Like I was comfortable with my boys that were friends, mm-hmm. but when it came to those sort of things, it was... Yeah. It was
well, and tell me this: did your girlfriends? You said they kind of, they were kind of glib about it. Did they? Did you have any girlfriends who really got into it with you and got you to check things out for them or anything?
Yeah, we did. You know, there was a couple of them that we did, and whom are not in the book because just to protect other people's privacies and stuff like that, because those characters are fictional in the book. So yes, we did. Though we did in many ways. So we, you know, there was like the card stuff, and we would, you know, we'd have some fun with that. And I mean, it kind of goes into the story of the next book too. So, you know, there are some experiences, but the players aren't real. Like, if you know what I mean. I don't know if you know.
Yeah, well, I was trying to push your real life.
Not saying it right. Yeah. Like, there's certain things, but of course, it's, you know, fiction is built into it, and you know, I've gone, but the way that it's done. So, yeah, you know, we experimented a little bit, but for me, I was all about trying to be normal. Hmm. So I would just was like, yeah, okay, well, but then I'd be like, no, you know, let's not do anything about it because I just liked it so much about myself.
Hmm.
Yeah. So I struggled with that until, yeah, my late teens, and then that's when I really embraced it. So.
Yeah, when you finally got somebody to help you see that it was a gift.
That's right.
Did you know it was a gift before? Did you know it was like...
Well, I thought it was a curse.
Yeah, okay.
I thought, you know, for me, I thought it was, you know, and my issues with God, the universe, whatever you want to call it back then, it would have been God, as I thought that, you know, that's what made me different, made me strange, made me crazy, made me, you know, feel things I didn't want to feel, see things I didn't want to see, hear things I didn't want to hear, you know, and at times had caused me, you know, back then, what I would say, some grief and, you know, opening up my mouth and saying something and people getting mad at me, or either in one minute they are happy for I've helped them or I gave them great advice, and then the next minute, you know, they're upset at me because they didn't like what I said or my opinion, and then, you know, so it was like
you'll kill the messenger.
Like, yeah, kill the messenger. And so I struggled with that as a teen, and especially being young and having those experiences of, you know, speaking my truth and being told to pretty much be quiet, don't say anything, close your mouth, and you're kicked out of Sunday school. You know, that was kind of my first experience of, you know, saying something where I'm like, well, that doesn't make any sense. That's not what the angels told me. My God, they were so ready to hush me up and usher me out of school. You could shake a stick.
But you weren't raised Catholic or anything?
No, Protestant. Oh, yeah,
okay.
I was raised Protestant.
But
so
you did
was,
go to church, eh?
Yes, I went to church when I was young, yeah.
So what did you think of God?
I grew up loving and fearing God at the same time.
Okay.
That dogma. So it was that I was afraid to take my cross off when I was young because I was afraid something bad would happen to me, and especially because of having these experiences. You know, I would pray every night. I mean, I still pray now. I mean, it doesn't make much of a difference. But, you know, now, obviously, with the knowledge, I know the difference between, you know, dogma versus spirituality. There's two different ways of, you know, how I was raised, of what God, how God was being taught to me to what really it is now, right?
Yeah. Did that gap widen when you were small?
I would say so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Were you ever just mad at God for all of this?
Oh, absolutely. How many times? Yeah. How many times did I have some nice words for him? No, I'm totally kidding. But no, there were times where I was, I would say to God, why did you do this to me? Why am I different? Why am I having these experiences? And I would just say, I don't want to have anything to do with you anymore. You know, I don't believe in you. And I did, you know, just like a typical kid having a tantrum, the way that you would treat a parent when you got angry, right?
Right.
And I would cry and I would say, why? And, you know, of course that was me trying to deal with my frustrations and not having anybody to talk to or turn to understand why it was happening. So, you know, God was the one pretty much that had to deal with a lot of my tantrums.
Well, he's got a big shoulder, I hear.
He totally does, yeah.
He totally does.
And so what about the beings that you, did you see a lot of angels and beings from the other side, and did you experience death and, do you know what I mean, in relatives and so on, and see, this is you, not in the book. I'm not trying to give away the book here.
So, yes, like my, you know, grandparents that have crossed over and, you know, beings in my room, you know, things like that, you know, great, you know, yeah, I would say relatives and beings and angels. So back then, you know, I would say, see, now I would, when I was younger, I wouldn't have called them angels because that wasn't how they came.
Mm-hmm.
They would come, like sometimes they would and then sometimes they wouldn't, which was quite interesting because I would see these golden lights in my room a lot. And I'd be like, okay, that, you know, but they never really, and they were always very soft-spoken, but always to the point, and not, I want to say non-emotional, but it was the way
that they spoke clearly to you, right?
Oh, yes, yeah, so it was things like, they were very, you know, everything's going to be okay, and not to worry, and just things like that, very comforting. When the times where I was, because I used to sleep with the covers over my head because I would always be seeing things or hearing things or whatever, and I have a little peephole. And ever since I was young, my mom would say this is how, they would try to come into the room at night and pull the covers over my head, and by the time they came back, I'd already been under there. That was my safe cocoon, my bed and my blankets with a little tiny hole to breathe out of.
Wow.
Because I was so terrified of everything that I would see, and sometimes I would see things that I didn't understand. I didn't really get scared until I was told I needed to be scared, which was around the age of 7. And that's kind of when your ego forms. So before that, you know, I kind of did with the blankets, but then it became even more of a session. I think I did that all the way through to my teens until, you know.
But were you able to sleep? Because a lot of us who had similar experiences couldn't ever sleep.
No, and I've always dealt with sleeping issues. That's the interesting thing is that, you know, I'm always, you know, as long as I can remember, if I'm not listening or not paying attention, they'll wake me up at 3 constantly.
Right.
Until I start doing what, you know, I'm, you know, what they're, I'm being asked to do. I'll put
so
it that
way.
So
you're getting your
when
instructions.
Ignore, you know, yeah, yeah. So anybody, you know, that has experiences, like always at 3, I'm like, my eyes open. Now I just laugh and I'm like, okay, I'll do it.
Just leave me alone. I need to sleep.
I will, yes.
But good old Indigo, our heroine, our heroine, is good at sleeping like 17 hours. I was very jealous of that. I go, how'd she work that out?
She was just tired.
Yeah, and all that energy. Yeah.
So Veronica, as a writer, okay, so I know you're the interviewer, but I'm a writer and I'm listening to you ask all these questions to Tara and I'm listening to your little answers and I'm thinking, you were born in the 40s, so when did you find out that you were intuitive?
Well, I think when I was very small, I used to say things that my mother would burst into tears because apparently I looked right through her and told her things. And then they were always threatening to lock me up, put me in the nut house. So I was very...
Really?
Yeah. So I was very suppressed till I had a major... my life came apart when I was 32.
See, 32. See, a little older, eh?
Yeah. So my husband died and so on. And... and then I sat, nothing would work for me, so I finally sat, and then I'll stop talking about me, but I just decided, I might be crazy, but I'm going to learn all about it. So I did a lot of meditation, a lot of inner work, and I didn't trust teachers by then, so I just kept learning and read the I Am books and gosh knows what all, you know, and evolved that way. So it was the older style of kind of chipping yourself out of the rock.
I'm thinking about it and thinking, wow, like where did they, okay, I got to stop here. Where did they try to like lock you away?
Did you girls ever see Girl Interrupted?
I've seen it. Amazing movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's, I thought, that was my vintage.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And
see,
it was,
I could write another novel.
You sure could. Call me. We'll talk about it later. But it's a very, that's why this subject is so precious, not just for me, for many, many of my own clients and so on.
Absolutely.
And to be really who you are has not been acceptable in this society very much, has it?
No, it has not. And it's because we're so afraid. We're just so afraid that, you know, we're not going to be liked or loved, and that comes from the ego. Is that, you know, and that's kind of such an advocate of teaching about understanding the ego and embracing the ego, and that the ego just gives you opposite of truth, but in a way of thinking that we are always connected, every single one of us, and that we are not, you know, separate. And when we start to feel separate, we're coming when we're in an ego state, because that's what we really fear the most, is that we're not going to be accepted or approved of by our peers and others.
Right, and I think the ego just keeps enforcing our self-identification.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's a very, very, I mean, this is a brilliant subject. You know this. It's much more than this wonderful book.
And that was our goal.
Yeah. Well,
our goal coming together was to entertain, but then also put it out there that you're learning something without even, you know, knowing you're learning, and that everyone in one way or another was going to be able to relate. And that's kind of where I teach, is we all have had intuitive experiences, some more than others, but we have all been there, had that, and we've all been told, oh, no, that's not true, or, oh, we were dreaming, or, oh, yeah, no, that's all in your head. We've all had that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like really kind of putting it out there to go, you know, say, everybody, you know what, you're not crazy. We are intuitive beings, and you know, putting out a book about it, great. I mean, there's lots of books out there that are fabulous, and they have so much information, and, you know, putting it out in a different way and working with Lorna has been such a blessing. You know, just even working with Lorna alone has been such a blessing for me, because she's just so amazingly creative and fun to work with.
And you're both so conscious, it really...
Yeah. Yeah. No, I just love it, yeah, and it's like working, you know, working together and being able to share this has been actually the greatest reward, is that, you know, and that's the thing about coming together has been the most exciting thing, is like having someone to enjoy it with has been the greatest gift, no matter, you know, what happened to the book or what goes on with the book, is like just doing it together and having fun has been... just, you know, just amazing. Just really amazing. There's no words to really describe it.
It's your own form of social networking.
Yeah. Totally. Absolutely. I love it.
I do too.
Yeah, it's
too funny.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really interested in what, first of all, there's a number of things I want to say. One is, it should be a television series or something, don't you think?
It should be a movie. Yeah. Got to be a movie.
We want a movie. We want a movie, yes. We want a movie.
Yeah, I'm up for that. I think that's a really brilliant idea. I keep thinking of how many people were impacted by Sixth Sense. Were they not?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Even my own father said to me, oh, my gosh, that's about your life, isn't it? This is, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, mm-hmm. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, that was mm-hmm. a real wake-up for him, I think.
Yep.
But back to you, I believe this book has, and this concept, it's not just this one book. I think the movie's going to be very exciting. Are you a movie writer, Lorna?
I could be. I've written one screenplay, and I've not done anything with it, but I have done one screenplay. So I've taken lots of courses on screenwriting and stuff, but it's not something that I do as a regular writing routine. But I would love to try. I'd love to work with somebody mm-hmm. who could teach me, and then I could really try.
Well, you know, one of the things I want to jump back to this through Indigo Eyes, because I feel like I want to see that's why I said a TV series, that steady unfolding of this amazing person's life. You know, I'm sure you could have infinite...
That'd be an interesting concept, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it would, actually.
All right, get going. Do it.
Well, you know, we are spreading the word. We've already put it out there. We keep talking about it. From the beginning of when we were coming together through the book, our minds, conscious minds, and, you know, intuitively have been putting it out there that that's one of the goals.
I'm very excited about it. I think it's wonderful. And the fact that it relates to the changing times, things are moving so fast. This is 2012, I bet you noticed, right?
Oh, I know. It's crazy.
I know. But things are moving so fast, and you know how to work virally. I think this is really exciting. Indigo is going to be pretty famous, this girl.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So what do you have to say to people about helping them become truer to themselves?
Lorna, or do you want to...
Go ahead, Tara.
I think I think the number one rule is that whatever is going on inside and whatever is kind of nudging you, and it's coming from a loving, you know, kind, direct way, it's not coming from anything that's putting you down or making you feel bad, the ego voice, anything that's kind of always been there. So it could be, you know, you've always wanted to write, let's say, and you make it, mm-hmm. you're you know, I had this experience too, and it's like I've always wanted to be a writer. And when I was little, I, you know, my grammar and stuff wasn't the best. I mean, it still isn't. but I'm, you know, I won't give up, but I will do it in other ways. Is saying that just because someone tells you you're not good enough, or you're not, you know, oh, this isn't good enough for you, or, you know, you're never going to be able to do that, but you know deep within your heart that it's something you're passionate about and you want to do it, there's other ways to do it. And, yeah, you may not fit into that mold, but that's okay. You know, keep persevering, keep going, because there will be something for you, and there's a reason why that little voice in you is saying, you know, keep going, and there's a reason why it's nudging you, because it really is part of your purpose. So it may be anything. It could be from opening a store to, you know, traveling the world and studying animals, like whatever that is. And if anybody ever says to you, oh, there's no way you can do that, mm-hmm. it's always to remember, a person doesn't mean to judge you. Mm-hmm. It's just they're only reflecting their own fears. Mm-hmm. That's all.
They're afraid that you'll lose security or something.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. So it's only a person coming from a place of what they're fearful of. So, you know, anybody's coming from a place of judging or saying that you cannot do something, it just means that they're in a place of fear. And it doesn't mean that they don't love you or they don't care about you. It's just that they have their own fixed beliefs that are stopping them from their own growth. So if anything, be the inspiration for them and say, you know what? I'm going to go for it. They mm-hmm. may not understand, but when you do it, you'll inspire that person, say, oh, maybe I really need to listen, and maybe I'm dealing with some fears I need to face. So that's what I would say.
I like that. Can you teach children how to meditate?
Absolutely. I mean, I work with children on a regular basis. So, because I work with intuitive children and parents with intuitive children, and you know, when you say intuitive, it depends on the certain side of frequencies. As I say, everybody is intuitive.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I teach them how to understand, go inwards, and that all the answers are inwards. And we do all different types of things. So I teach them how to, you know, we can do meditations. We do walking meditations. We do, you know, I get them understanding how to use oracle cards first to trust themselves, and then how to use, you know, how to do it without them, and then more just understanding their inner voice. You know, and
I bet it's fun for them, is it?
Oh, they love it. Oh, yeah. And that's so fun, and that's the rewarding part, is when the little ones come in and the parents come in and the parents are like, oh, I don't know. And I'm like, and then they, you know, and then seeing the parents feel like, thank God, mm-hmm. you know, and I think it's just like I can see my parents too, have, you know, what it was like to go, like my child having these experiences, or, you know, waking up in the middle of the night screaming constantly, and like I can't help, I can't do anything, I don't know what to do, mm-hmm. you know, those sort of things. So when they start to feel relief that this is normal and there's a way that they can relate, it's almost like a whole weight is lifted off their shoulders. They all become happy and they work together and they have fun. So, you know, we use all different types of tools on how you can make it part of the family, and how this is, you know, and it's fun how the parents start to use their intuition on stuff, and the dads do it. I mean, the dads are always the kind of the hesitant ones,
yeah.
And then the next thing is they're hilarious because they're the ones that are having more fun with it too, and saying, wow, I tried this in my business and it worked, and wow, and you know, so it's really great how you see everybody blossom. It becomes a ripple effect. It really does.
Oh, that's wonderful, because that's one of the questions I've talked to so many people. How do we get to children? And children need to be, things are moving so fast these days. They
yeah.
need to be grounded in their own truth. What do you think of Dharma, the soul journey, both of you? Like, did you have the writer in you, Lorna, when you were a child?
I did have the writer in me when I was very young. I did have the, that's something that I loved when I was a kid. I mean, I just did a keynote on loving libraries.
Mm-hmm.
I was a library. I mean, I belonged to every library I could. I read, and I wrote, all the time, and I wrote stories, and I wrote so much. And then I kind of left it, and then I came back to it later on when I had my children. It sort of resurfaced as a job I could do when I was at home.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just sort of embraced it and took it and remembered then. Then that's when it triggered that, oh, my gosh, I loved to do this when I was young. Like, this was something that I was like, you know, I entered contests. I sent stories off to magazines when I was like, you know, 11 years old.
Wow.
And yeah, you know, and I remember that first rejection coming in, and the mail came, because of course it was mail, not email, And the mail came, and I
mail.
My mom says, "Who's that from?" And I said, "Oh, nobody." And I ran up the stairs, and they told me that I, you know, they couldn't use my story that I'd sent them. You know, so I mean, I should have kept that.
Oh, I love it.
Did
not
you cry?
Understanding that.
Yeah, of course
I
am.
My
bedroom, I didn't know that.
Crying and crying, blah 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 blah.
What did
you
your
know
mom
that
do?
I had got my story rejected? Oh, it was like a camp magazine or something. I remember sending to it. I'd been to camp, and I wrote my story about my experience at camp, and I sent it to the magazine, and then they didn't take it. I was devastated. But, you know, I mean, I think back on that, and I think how much effort that took me to put in the mail and get a stamp on it, and I hid it from my mom. I must have stolen a stamp from her. And anyway,
did your mom,
when it
was your mom consoling?
Me, pardon me?
Was your mother consoling?
I don't think she ever knew. I never told her because she asked me what it was, and I said nothing. Like, oh, it's nothing. It's just a letter from, you know, camp. They're just asking me about camp or something. I sort of, so, but my mom was a writer.
Oh,
my mother was a writer. Yeah, she was. Yeah, she was a poet. So, and you know, she worked really hard to get her work published in, like her little chapbook. She did them herself. But I still have some of her, I have all those books. And I mean, some of her poetry, it just makes me cry. But anyway, so yeah, I had it when I was little and then I left it and then I came back to it. So it's one of those things that I did remember about myself when I got down to doing it, you know, later in my life, like later in my 30s, I decided that this was something that I really wanted to do. And so now it's just, it's with me and I can't not write. So I don't know even sometimes what to do with that because I think I'd like to stop because it makes me crazy. But then
why
I can't.
Why does it make you crazy? Because the pictures
oh,
are
no,
bigger
I'm just
than
kidding.
The words.
I mean, because it, well, it keeps me up at night and stuff. Like, you know, I'm, you know, you get to a point where you struggle and then you go, oh, I got to figure this out. My husband.
That's Lorna's intuition. She's a knower. That's
yeah.
why.
But I feel like I get that way about my own intuitive life. Is you're always figuring, aren't you, Tara, always figuring
100%.
Out.
100%. That's what I was just saying. It just reminded me of Lorna. Like, Lorna waking up at her at 3 o'clock, like the way I get woken up at three or whatever, it's the same thing. It's like that, okay, you need to do this, you need to do that. It's like that's how Lorna's messages come through. And I've always said she's a knower. She downloads stuff, you know, and it's like she just knows it without having any fact, reason or rhyme of to know why she knows. She just knows, and then it just happens, you know. So, you know, and that's kind of how Lorna works. My knower, I love working with her. So, you know, and you know, it's so fascinating because ever since I was little, you know, the whole Dharma, absolutely, you know, we all have a we have multiple purposes, and, you know, but we do have a theme, I would say, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I always knew that I was meant to help people learn how to love themselves because I never understood hate. I never understood why people were mean. I never, because of experiencing it myself, that I delve so deep into it, I think, and going to those dark places of understanding the ego. So it was so funny. My mom the other day called me because they were moving stuff around. She goes, guess what I found? And I said, what? She said, I found your grade 3 pink like journal or you'd have to write in every day. And she goes, there was a part in there, and I guess my mom started to cry and laugh at the same time, that said, when I grow up, I'm going to travel the world and help people and make them love themselves.
Aww.
Wow.
Isn't that funny? And then she goes, that's exactly what you're doing. I just laughed and I just said, so funny. But, you know, so we have an idea. It's like writing or whatever. You know, it's like learning to love. So when I was a teenager, you know, Divine would have said to me, or anybody would have said to me, oh, you're going to go around teaching people how to understand their intuition and ego. I'd go, yeah, right. You know, like, no way would I do that. I'm going the other way. You know, it's like, no way, that's crazy stuff, right? I'm like, I don't want anybody to figure me out, but I know that my greatest fear has become my greatest accomplishment. So exposing the vulnerable parts of myself or what made me hate myself or made me feel different from having these experiences and seeing and hearing things has been the greatest gift to be able to help others learn how to, you know, help and love themselves. I mean, to me, that is every piece of happiness that could ever, I mean, it's priceless, right? So,
yeah, oh, it's
yeah,
precious.
That's where I find God, is in those moments of watching people transform in front of my eyes, and that it's a blessing for me to be even a part of that is just amazing.
Oh,
yeah.
That's wonderful. I really, well, actually for me, I'll say a little bit about me is when I was little, I thought the gap between what people meant and what they said, what people meant and what they admitted, And when I was little, I remember putting my hands on my hips and going, when I'm a big person, I'm going to figure out how big people work because this doesn't make any sense. And I look at my life now and I go, yeah, I think that's what I'm doing. Yeah. And it's very, I think it's more fashionable, is that right? Or we're more conscious as a species to help people become attuned to their own journey, their purpose, their dharma.
Yeah. I think where it's more, absolutely. I think it's more, well, I think it's both. I think you could probably use both words in mm-hmm. that sentence, that it is fashionable, but it's also, we are more conscious trying to do that.
Arising in frequency collectively, eh?
Yeah, maybe we are.
We are. I think so.
Yeah.
I think we are all here right now because we are changing. If we look at history in so many ways, you know, in this last century, we have evolved, you know, to points of, there's no, yeah, I mean, even all history books, the how much we've actually accomplished has, it's almost amazing. And we forget those, you know, those little kind of nippets and facts.
Like
and,
quantum leaps.
Yeah, like it's fascinating. And so I do believe we are having a universal shift.
Yeah, I do, too.
I think it's been going on for the last, you know, so many years, too. I go back to even probably the last 7-8 years or even more. I think we're in for a really exciting ride because we're going to, in our lifetime, we're going to see some massive changes happen.
Oh, we really are. But one of the things I just want to throw in, we talked about God a while ago, and mm-hmm. I think it was Chris Griscom from the Light Institute, when we were talking with her, she wrote a book about, I think, how much God has changed.
And God's changed a ton.
So much.
Isn't that? And I love that whole idea of the authority, the dominance, say?
Yeah.
So have you got anything to say about that?
Mm-hmm. I grew up in a born-again Christian household.
Oh, you did? Good for you.
I did, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I did. So God was, like, very prevalent in our house. Like,
the crucible is always interesting, isn't it?
Well, it was everything in our house. Like, everything we did related to God, to Jesus, mm-hmm. to all of that. But I have, like, seen a shift in it since that time when I was young, and it was so, you know, he was
judgmental.
You know, it was all fire and brimstone, and mm-hmm. and most of what we were taught was guilt. So that has shifted. I don't think that guilt is the same as what it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at least I'm hoping it's not, because, I mean, that was, you know, that's what we lived our life on, was the guilt that you've done something wrong, whatever. So I
and there's
think
a lot of healing of the collective.
I think God is shifting. Yeah, yeah. I do believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's not the punishing and the fear and kind of like, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Where, we, you know, same thing, you know, growing up of being, you know, being afraid that I was sinning or I was going to do something wrong. And because I was told by someone in the church that, you know, what I was experiencing was evil and wrong and the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, there was something wrong with me and that, you know, things like that. And that's where it stemmed from. And that's where I started to go inwards and really got, you know, my ego got a hold of me and really started to dislike who I was mm-hmm. because I saw something as being wrong. And, you know, it was funny. And when I was in, you know, I studied at St. Paul's University and studied with theology and pastoral counseling.
Oh, wow. Good for you.
For 4 years. Yeah,
wow.
For 4 years. And I didn't finish, but I went for 4 years. And I remember being in meditation and, you know, of course, Divine says, but you need to do this. And I'm like, okay, great. You're throwing me to the wolves. Great. That's exactly where I need to go. But it was the greatest blessing because, you know, studying with other theologians, and it really opened my eyes to all of those issues that I had with the church and feeling like I was shunned or something was wrong with me or whatever that was. I came to such great peace through it. And one, you know, especially I had one professor that was a Vatican priest who was now, you know, teaching there. And I had such forgiveness and such understanding of what has really happened with the Christian faith and where it's going and in so many different ways. So I think that, you know, we don't take the time to really look into what a lot of this is saying, and then we have our own interpretation of it too as well. So I had such peace that happened with my relationship with the universe and God while going through there. And I think I did have harboring anger towards certain things that was such a blessing when I actually faced it head on and dealt with it.
So you're making different relationships with mm-hmm. what we thought of as God and the universe and so on.
That's right.
Well, and this is for both of you, although I don't know, Lorna, where you're at with this, but haven't we noticed that a lot of people are understanding more and more about the soul journey and life on the other side and all of that? Do you work with that, don't you, Tara?
Oh, yes. And so, you know, this where we're going is I find that the veil is getting thinner between here and the other side. And
I love that.
So many people that are having more experiences, and even later in life too, that yes, we're all born with one, but you do, you're finding that yes, we have a lot of these young ones coming through that are high length, you know, high frequency, but at the same point, we're having a lot of people that are, you know, in their, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s that have like had their wake up calls, and it's like wham, or I just say it's either it's come back on, like what was shut down has been flipped back on again.
Right.
You know, it's like the surge came back on, and I do believe that there is that sense of that veil becoming thinner, and that we are experiencing it, regardless if we like it or not, we're experiencing it, because that's where our world is going.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of movies and books and shows and stuff right now that are sort of showing that, like,
yeah.
Like whether it's fictitional, like, you know, there's shows on television, The Mentalist, there's like the Angel Show, there's this show, there's that show, there's movies. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, Matt Damon was in that movie. And
oh, Hereafter, yeah.
Hereafter.
Oh, yeah,
I think there's lots of things, lots of stuff, like people are sort of exploring it a little bit more.
There was a good series that I was watching faithfully, and they pulled it off of NBC, but it's a Canadian one, and it's still running in Canada. Have you seen Saving Hope?
Oh,
yes,
Saving Hope, yeah.
Yeah,
yes.
It's a great show.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I was just
it's
so lit
show.
Up because it talks about people in near-death experiences
it
and
does.
Spirits
yeah,
out in the hall. But I really think that's moving through, where people do talk about their cellular lineage or
mm-hmm.
you know where they've been before and who they're connecting
yep.
with and how to
yeah,
heal.
And that we all, past lives, and everybody is really coming to the understanding too, is that like, and we've all played a role. Like, I know Lauren and I have had many lifetimes together. Many, 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 you know, and it was
really?
Instant because, oh yeah. Oh yes, my dear, because it was instant from the time that we met. Instant. Boom.
Wow.
And it was
trust.
That sort of, I
knowing.
Know you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, and there it's just, in the, and it's like, as we say, you never go far from what you know. So we all have a past, and we all come in to work together to help each other go through soul's progression.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference is that we're on soul's journey. Our journeys may be different, but we're all doing the exact same thing, and we all agree that we're going to help each other at a certain time and pop in. And, you know, it's just so fascinating. And when we really pull back and look at the simplicity of it, it's all there.
And that helps a lot. You mentioned forgiveness, and I think that's a really essential thing to pull the tethers off of,
mm-hmm.
you know, what limits our life. But I think the more we understand about what you just talked about the reasons our souls have come together, the faster we can do forgiveness, the faster
that's
we
right.
can heal ourselves that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I'm very excited about this book, and if you would
thank
like
you.
To tell, Tara, I never did say your last name, yours either, Lorna. This is Tara Taylor and Lorna
yes.
Schultz. This is a book that Lorna carved using the pieces of Tara's experience as an intuitive and especially good fictitious tools that you've got there. You're good at that.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So tell people what about how to get hold of you, how to get hold of the book, how to sign up for Facebook connection with you.
Sure, absolutely. You can go through Indigo's Eyes. It's through Indigo's with an S at the end, through indigoseyes.com. Laura and I have a full website there. And then if you go under About Authors, both of our information is on there as well. So both of our websites and our Facebook and Twitter and all those links are there for you. But, yeah, just
mm-hmm.
even going through indigoseyes.com, all the good stuff is there. And you can actually read the first chapter. We have that up there, so that's kind of fun and to get you into it. And, it's great. And we always love hearing from everybody. So we'd love to hear your comments. We'd love to hear your feedback. We love to, you know, hear about your own intuitive experiences. So please, like, we love it.
Absolutely.
So send. Yes.
If you want to go on the website and we have a place for comments, go for it, and
yes.
we'll answer you.
Yes.
And we have a Facebook page,
mm-hmm.
and we have a Twitter account.
Yes.
And
now, I don't know how to work Twitter, so now I have to go back to school because
well,
I'm targeting you.
You know what? Twitter's fun.
Yeah.
Is
it?
I like it because it's really quick. I can do it really quickly. So I'm, you know, because I'm writing too much, so I'm not a big blogger and I'm not a big any of that. But Twitter's fun, so I like
yeah.
Twitter. You would like Twitter, Veronica, honestly.
Okay.
Once you get on it, it's easy. You only
it's
have to
easy.
Do one-liners.
Like
yeah.
I said,
easy.
I have to go to school as soon as I hang up here just to learn from all these things
I know,
you're telling
it's
me.
Funny.
And I
want
to throw back into the book. Why Indigo? I think people need to hear that.
You mean the name Indigo?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, I think just for Indigo children.
Yeah.
I think that,
I
you know, for all the Indigo children out there, we decided to name her Indigo. And then, of course, as I started writing, the nickname Indy came up, and Indy's just become kind of a catch. And I like her name. I like
yeah.
it.
I love it. And Indigo
I
children.
I do.
Help.
I love Indy.
Yeah, well, actually, it does sort of talk about the whole Dharma, becoming independent with your Dharma, not being ruled by the collective in a way, hey?
Mm-hmm. And what's fun, and, you know, the funny little story about this was that a week before Lorna and I met, like everything happens for a reason, of course, how the divine always works, I was given that title from the divine. It was like loud and clear through Indigo's eyes. I was like, what the? Like, what am I supposed to? I just yelled it. A man's voice yelled it, and it was so clear, and I knew that I needed to write it down. What it was for, I had no idea, but it was that's exactly what it was for.
Wonderful. And Indigo Children, do you want to tell somebody or people, would you like to say what Indigo Children are?
Well, Indigo Children, you know, again, it's just a name. It's just like we say boy, girl. It's a way that we are trying to, you know, express a certain type of people. But they are children who are attuned to a higher frequency that have these experiences that, you know, call it intuitive, call it psychic, whatever. And there's different types. Like, some are just amazing artists, and they just, like, they're at three. I mean, I was watching, oh, what's her name? Can't think of her name, but she's, you know, 3 years old and was painting as if she was, you know, Michelangelo. Like,
wow.
They're born with these talents that are just amazing, and they see the world differently. And they, indigos really have this thing against authority, in a way of saying, well, no, well, why no? And if you don't get an answer, they'll go, well, that doesn't make any sense. So they do like to challenge things, but they really want peace and love. And here's the thing, indigo children, there's so much out there on them. They have been they've been born over and over and over again. And it's not just from the 80s on, or because, you know, myself and kind of where, you know, through indigo's eyes and all that sort of stuff. And there was a bunch in the 50s, there was a bunch in the 40s, there's bunches. There just seems to be a larger mass of indigos that came through.
I'm pretty sure I'm one, even though
I'm so 100%. Yeah. 100%. And that's where I think people get a little confused. It's that it's not just because if you were born from this time to this time. Indigos came in like kind of like rushes or in certain times, but they did come before. There was just a larger amount from, you know, 1979, 1980, like on. That was all.
As we were talking about, the frequencies are shifting fast, and it's
that's
like
right.
Exponential.
Yeah, yeah. So, you
I
know, but
love
there are
the
there's
title.
Tons over times. Yeah.
It's a wonderful title. And I have
well, that's from the divine, so we got to thank them for that.
I'll tell you what, it's a divine title.
It is.
Thank
it totally
you.
Is. Yeah.
Thank you both
yeah.
for your work. It's been such a delight for me to share this
thank
time
you,
with you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Well, we'll talk again, and take care. And I was going to say good luck on this book, but it's moving. It's viral. I recommend
very much.
Everybody read it and watch for the television series or the movie.
Thank you, Veronica, for manifesting.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for holding that consciousness for us. That's wonderful. Thank you. And many blessings to you. And thank you for the time, too. We really
And thank you so much for the interview. It was wonderful. It was great to meet you.
Yes,
it's wonderful to meet you, yes. And so I'll just say goodnight to everybody who's listening. And thank you so much for tuning in to Paradigm Shifters. Any feedback to Veronica@VeronicaEntwistle.com, Veronica@VeronicaEntwistle.com. Many, many blessings. Thank you to Tara. Thank you to Lorna for your good work. Good night.